Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Sid, Victory Fellowship Church. Today is March 28th. We're about two and a half weeks into our coronavirus quarantine. And so I wanted to release another word to the house and all the listeners that are out there. I want to develop or continue developing a word that the Lord spoke to me about a week and a half ago. During that time frame, the Lord gave me a word saying, now is the time that you prepare the fatted calf. Now is the time that you prepare the fatted calf. He was saying that now is not the time to shrink back and be ultra-conservative based on fear and uncertainty. Instead, it's a time and opportunity to invest and sow into our future and the future of those around us, both present and the people that we don't even know yet that will be around us in the future. The things that we do now, so often the decisions we make, they so often determine what our future looks like. And so I want us to talk about sowing during a famine. We're going to be looking in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, and then we're going to be referencing and speaking just a little bit on Genesis 26 and a story concerning Isaac, one of the patriarchs. In Luke 15, we see the story of the loving father or the redeemed son. Religion would have us know it as the story of the prodigal son, but I like to look at it as the story of the redeemed son or his loving father. We know this story very well. It's the story of a wealthy man that had a young had two young sons, and one of them came to the father. The younger of the two came to the father, and he wanted his inheritance early. He wanted to go ahead and get his part so he could start living his life. You know, perhaps like so many of us, Mayberry seemed too small. You know, the hometown and where he grew up, and he knew there was a big world out there, and he wanted more. And so the word says that the father, he gave it to them. It said that the young man asked for, he says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the word said he divided unto them, both his sons, his living. And then we'll just read the scripture here, and it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And then the story goes on and tells of the older son and how he was upset with the father and everything that was taking place and the celebration that was going on over his younger brother who had wasted his inheritance. And we see the father's dealing with that. But today I want to talk about the fatted calf. I want to talk about, we know the story of the loving father. We know the story of the redemption for the son. The celebration concerning the redemption and the reestablishment of relationship. But I, in light of the word that gave me, I want us to focus on the fatted calf and what led up to the fatted calf. When his son came back, the father did several things. It said he gave him his embrace, he gave him his kiss, he gave him his robe, he gave him his ring and shoes. All of these were articles of beloved sonship, identity, and authority. He then had the servants prepare, kill, or dress, butcher the fatted calf. The word thee is a definite article that is used before a noun with a specifying effect. The father was not pulling a random resource to throw a celebration with. This fatted calf had been put up and was specific. The word fatted in Greek means to be fed with grain, and it's for the finishing process of butchering. It was very intentional. I'm sure the wealthy father, the wealthy father had a field full of cattle, but the fatted calf was specific. And so today I want us to talk about being specific in the potential fatted calves that God desires us to raise up and have ready in our lives. As I read this story, I'm reminded of when Jesus came off of the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples were at the base of the mountain, and they were down with a father and had a son that was possessed and tormented by demons. And the other disciples had been trying to cast the demons out of it, and they were fruitless in this. And the father came to Jesus when he came down, and he's like, "Your disciples have been unable to help my son." And immediately Jesus ministered to the young man, set him free of the demonic oppression. And his disciples were really flabbergasted. They were like, "Why couldn't we do anything?" Because they'd had success in ministry. They'd had success in healings. They had had success in casting out demons. They had had success in many areas. But in this instance, they were unsuccessful. And Jesus, he rebuked them for being of little faith. But then he says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And what Jesus is saying in this is that he didn't say, "Man, I need to go pray and fast and come back and minister to this guy." But his lifestyle was such that it was a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. And he was at the point when the need arose, when the time arose, he was ready for such a time as this to minister to the young man. And so I want us to talk and consider and think about the word the fatted calf. The intentionality of the fatted calf. Bill Johnson has a saying that I really like, and it's "and suddenly doesn't just happen." And we can randomly pull resources, but we will not be able to pull a specific thing and use a specific thing unless it is in place. And that takes a purpose. It takes being intentional. And looking at this wealthy father, and he comes in and he restores his son and he blesses his son with the calf that was specific. It is spoken of in this scripture two or three times of the fatted calf. This extravagance is what infuriated the older son. And the intentionality of this is what made it extravagant. He was very, very upset that his father was throwing this big party for his brother who did not seem as deserving. If he had simply prepared him a meal, it would not have caused such a stir with him. But he pulled something that he deemed as extravagant, and the thing that made it extravagant, separate from any other meal he could have prepared, was the fact that this was an intentional, specific item that he pulled. And so I want us to talk about developing those in our lives. In this story, the father had been feeding the calf, preparing it for such a time as this. Not necessarily for his son's arrival, but for something that he deemed as worthy. Every day they went out and fed the calf, getting it ready. This was very, very intentional. Now, going back to the word that the Lord gave me during this time of an unusual shift in our lives. The world would call it a famine. What fatted calves are we preparing? By preparing, I don't mean butchering. I mean making fat. I mean the process of getting something that is ready to the point that it can be extravagant and significant in someone else's life or in our life later on in a time of need. Remember the intentional part is what makes it extravagant. I want us to consider Mary and the alabaster box of ointment that she came and she broke and she poured it out over Jesus and ministered to Jesus, getting him ready for the cross and for the burial and everything. The thing that made it significant to me is not necessarily the value of it, but the intentional part of it. The fact that she had set this aside, she had purposed in her heart that I am saving this for something that I feel like is worthy of the expense, worthy of the time that has gone into this. And she deemed, she had an understanding that Jesus was about to go to the cross. She had an understanding that he was about to be the sacrifice. And so she said, now is the time for this. And so the thing that extravagant was not the fact that it was perhaps a year's worth of wage, as Judas and some of the disciples said, but the fact that she was so intentional in saving it and preparing it and getting it ready for such a time as this. So I really want us to put a lot of weight this afternoon on the word intentional. During this unique time, we have some unique opportunities in what we are intentionally sowing into. I want to say that again. During this unique time, we have some unique opportunities in what we are intentionally sowing into. This is going to look different for all of us on what our different fatted calves are. The recent volatility of the stock market has caused a lot of people to panic and say, oh no, it's another bear market. And they're freaking out and they're selling stuff, short selling stuff and all of that. But, instead of it being a panic and all, I see it as an opportunity to invest. I see it as an opportunity that I can sow into something that one day will become the prepared fatted calf. Right now, it may be young, it may be immature, it may be on a downturn, but it's an opportunity to sow into something that is going to become much larger. Right now, me personally, I'm coming in and, I'm buying stocks like Delta Airlines and Disney because they're taking a beating from the coronavirus. And I'm not going to make a profit on them now, but I believe that they will fatten for a future time. So I see economic opportunity right now. Now, if you're in economic survival right now, that's okay, but be intentional that I'm not always going to be like this. Believe what God says about you and his promises and act accordingly. The obstacles so often are the greatest opportunities for us. And that's just a financial thing that I see in front of so many people right now and with the climate that's going on. Right now we have relational opportunities in this unique time. While we're separated from our larger group of friends, we're quarantined with our immediate family. We've been given the beautiful gift of time. I hear it over and over and over again with people. The biggest complaint that they have about their lives is not the fact that they don't have enough money. It's not their living conditions, but it's the fact that their life is so chaotic. Their life is rushed from here to rush from there to rush to this and all of the demands. And we in this time have been given the beautiful gift of time. The question is what are we going to do with it? This is the one thing that we typically don't have enough of, and now all of a sudden we have a bounty of it. How intentional will you be about fattening this calf? The key word, once again, is intentional. This year, Lori and I are celebrating 40 years together this spring. 40 years together. Wow, 40. That's a long time. But we have an amazing, deep relationship that has become a deep well for us and others to drink from. And while love is the foundation, being extremely intentional is the driving force that has gotten us to this amazing place. I want to say that again. While love is the foundation, being extremely intentional is the driving force that has gotten us to this amazing place. We have invested more in our relationship together by far than anything else other than our relationship with God. Remember, the fatted calf gets fed every day. The same can be said for our relationships with our children and grandchildren. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. That's a biblical principle that the Word teaches us throughout, that if we want an abundant harvest, we have to sow into that. So right now you have the opportunity and the gift of time to sow into these relationships, develop these relationships, reconnect in some of these relationships. And what you are doing is you are being intentional about fattening the calf that someday is going to bring fruit. I see a lot of people and they have, I'll be honest with you, man, they have strained relationships with their spouse. They have strained relationships with their children. They have adult children now, and their relationships with them are dysfunctional. And a lot of it can be traced back to the lack of being intentional on sowing into those relationships, the lack of placing enough value on those relationships to say they are worthy of being fed every single day. They are worthy of being set aside and treated separately, and saying, this is something of great value, and I'm going to grow it, and I'm going to fatten it. I'll be honest with you guys, when we feed out hogs occasionally, and through the years I fed out some cattle for freezer purposes, and I don't go and look for the sickliest one in the group. I don't look for the weakest calf, the smallest calf, or the run of the litter on the pigs. I want the one that I feel like has the most potential, the one that can bring the most value into my life, and that's the one that I choose, and that's the one that I pour into, and that's the one that I sock the feed into. I do it with my replacement heifers that are not going to be put in the freezer, but that's going to be my herd of the future. And I select the ones that have the greatest potential, or I feel like the greatest potential. And what we need to do is we need to place the appropriate value on the relationships that are designed to be there. We put more weight on some of our little Facebook buddies than we do a relationship with our children that are going to be there for our whole lives. We put more weight on silly professional relationships that, 3 years from now, we may not even be involved in this person in our life. But God's called us to be one with our spouse. God's called us to grow old together and to see the generations. And so we need to recognize the weight of these things, and we need to sow into those things, especially during famine, all times, but especially during famine. So I want us to think about that and consider that. The same holds true with our relationship with God. As I have said many times, I believe that there are things that we can only receive from God in a private manner, and I believe that there are things that we can only receive from God in a corporate manner. And that's why I love both of them. I love coming together corporately. I love to gathering with the brethren. I love coming into the house and worshiping together, where my faith collides with your faith. And our worship, it raises up a sound. I like the fact in the story of the redeemed heir that we were just talking about in Luke 15, the way that his brother knew that something was going on was he heard the sound of the celebration. He heard the sound of the celebration. He asked the servants, he said, man, what is happening? I hear a noise. I hear a sound of celebration. It says he hears the sound of singing and dancing. And that happens in a corporate setting. I love that. I miss that right now. I miss gathering together with you guys, my church family. But in this unusual time, now I have the opportunity to spend more time in my private life. Now I have the opportunity to spend more time pressing in in a quiet place, in a secret place, with just me and God, to where I'm not depending on Bill Johnson or Damon or any of the ministers in our house to bring me a good word, but I'm pressing in so God can speak to me individually as a man. And so now's the time for us to push into that. Recognize that, the significance of that, and say, this is a fatted calf in my life, and I'm going to feed it every day. I'm going to sow into it, and I'm going to watch this thing grow, and then it's going to get to a place to where I can break off part of that, butcher it, if you will, and then feed the multitudes with it, feed my family with it, feed those that are around me, feed the strangers with what this has grown into. This is the thing about these fatted calf is as we grow these in our life and as we feed these out in our life, as we get them ready, and we are intentional in that, they will ultimately come to a place of maturity where then God will require that we use that. And when God requires that we use it, it may be that my spouse needs this. It may be that, it's love and encouragement and undergirding and support and all of these things. Then that's the reason that we need to strive to be whole in our lives. We need to strive to be mature in our lives, that our life becomes that fatted calf, to where then when such a time as this, then I can break it off and I can give it to others. I can break it off to my family and give it to my family. I can break it off. It's not a random resource, but it is a specific thing. Remember, the fatted calf. The fatted calf. I have something to give. I hope right now that my life is whole and full enough. I have something to give this family, this house. I have something to give to the people that are listening by podcast. I have something that I can release into society, not just from a word from the Lord, but a life of peace. You remember a few weeks ago I said peace is our currency. In not operating in fear, but in a place of confidence that I am His. I am His beloved. We are in deep covenant relationship. I know His heart for me. Therefore, His promises are yes and amen. And when we grow in that and we feed that, that becomes a fatted calf. Then it's a specific resource for the world. So I want you to come in and press in this time for the things that you can only receive from the private encounters. Now's the time to press into these. So how will we fatten our personal relationship with the Lord? Much busyness has been removed from your life. Will you take advantage of it? In Genesis 26, I want us to reference that for just a moment before I tie things up. In Genesis 26, we see the story of Isaac, Abraham's son. He's a grown man at this time. Rebekah is his wife, and there's a famine that has come on the land. And God tells him to go to a specific place, and he went to that certain place. And when he got there, the Lord reaffirmed Isaac's identity and Yahweh's promises to not only him but his family. During this time, it's important that you don't forget who you are or your beloved identity. I think it's important that the Word tells us that he came in and he reaffirmed that to Isaac, because then he asked Isaac to do something that sounded pretty unconventional. He asked him to sow in the midst of a famine. And the Word says that he came and he sowed during that famine. And he said during that year, during the middle of the famine, he received a 100-fold increase of what he had sowed. So when we understand our identity, who we are, who we are in Him, who we are as His beloved, in this place of relationship, and everything that comes with that, all of His promises, all of His heart for us, His heart concerning us, what He desires to do in us and through us. When we understand that, then we do not operate out of a place of lack. We operate out of a place of faith and trust. And we're in that place, then we don't have a problem being faithful and intentional about sowing when it doesn't seem like a good time to sow. The reason that I can sow right now with complete confidence is twofold. Number one is because I do understand who I am in Him. I do understand my beloved identity. I do understand and believe His promises, His yes toward me, His yes toward my family, His yes toward the generations that are coming behind me. I understand that and I believe that and I operate in a high level of faith on that. But also the reason I'm able to stand here today and talk about this and be confident in this and operate in this is because our life has been a life of being intentional and fatting some calves. That has been a consistent in our life. And so now when famine comes, we're not empty. When famine comes, we're not afraid to sow. When famine comes, we're not afraid to release, because we know and we're confident that the Lord has got this, but He has the not only the ability, but the heart to multiply this. And so I want us to come in and sow now. Not when things return to normal or whatever that looks like, whatever normal is. That's a big thing Lori and I always kick around. You know, are we weird? Are we normal? And everybody else is weird. It feels like there's very few people that think like us and act like us and pursue like us and all of that. And so I'm not really sure what normal is. I just know it, the kingdom living that we walk in sure does feel normal to me. Even when things are chaotic around us. Even things when in society may not be normal. So I want to encourage everybody. I want you to sow now. The unique timing, listen to this. This is important, I feel like. I underlined it in my notes here. The unique timing of our investment can produce a unique harvest. Let me say that again. The unique timing of our investment can produce a unique harvest. Now, as I said earlier, if right now you're in survival mode economically, if you're in survival mode emotionally, relationally, things like that, I get it. I understand that. I've been there economically before. I've been there in other areas before. But simply purpose in your heart and say, this is not how I want my future to always look. And begin to look at specific things as God brings them to you and lets you see the value on them and start to deem those as fatted calves. Start deeming these significant relationships. Don't waste your time and energy on insignificant relationships, but these relationships that the Lord shows you and said, this is significant. Then sow into that. And begin to fatten that and be extremely intentional about specific. It's got to be specific. And the same thing monetarily with your finances and economics and all of that stuff. Man, I get it. If you're just, I'm hanging on. This is kind of rocking my world. Our business and the type of business that I'm in. I get it. If you're a restaurant owner or wait staff or a cook or anything like that, chef, I should say, any of these things, I feel for the, for that industry. I feel for the entertainment industry. I know these are very, very difficult times for you. But purpose in your heart in these times and say, you know what? These are some areas that I'm going to begin to develop a fatted calf strategy in my life where I'm going to come in and I'm going to be intentional and I'm going to begin to feed this thing. And today, if you're in a place that you are a whale that has several fatted calves prepared, now might be the time to butcher some. I want to say that again. If right now you're not feeling the brunt of this and you've prepared well in your life, you've got areas that are extremely stable, very stable in relationships, very, very deep and rich in your relationships with those around you, deep and rich in your relationship with God. If you're financially in a place to where you've had some fatted calves and you've been able to grow some things and all of that stuff, now just might be the time to butcher some. Generosity is an amazing act of compassion right now. It's an amazing act of compassion. We had a couple of things just actually happen yesterday with us. We went to... I believe in supporting the restaurants that you like to go to. And if you don't feel comfortable getting curbside takeout, go online and buy some gift cards. Because these places that you love to eat at, I mean, we like to eat at Gabe's and Brown Dog and some of those places, some of the kind of boutique-type restaurants that are unique and all that, that's our vibe. And we like to eat at those. Go online and buy gift certificates right now. They need the cash flow coming in. If you feel comfortable with it, go and do curbside. We went last night and we ordered curbside. Lori and I were sitting out outside and we were just talking. We'd actually had food thawed out to cook again, and we said, you know what, we need to kind of step up on helping some of these local restaurants. So I called Gabe's and I placed it a go order. And we went down, and I picked it up about 20 minutes later. And it was one of those where, hey, don't come in. Well, tell me what kind of vehicle you're in. And you can either pay card online or pay cash when you get there. And I told her what kind of vehicle I was in, and I went. And the girl came out, and my bill was like $40-something for our meal. And I gave her $100 bill, and she said, "Let me go get your change." I said, "No, keep it. Y'all divide it up with the wait staff." And man, she was just ecstatic. And I got in the car and I just cranked it up and was starting to pull out. And the other girl that was helping her do it, the other wait staff, she came out and she was waving and saying, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much." And it was a simple act of generosity that not only did it provide an economic resource for her or for those people, but it caused him to say, "Man, somebody knows what's going on in my life. Somebody sees the stress that we're under, that our industry's under, and they're stepping up and they're helping." And it was, you know, they didn't know my name. It wasn't that I, you know, had my card and all of this stuff, but it was just simply this individual is stepping up to help. We have a couple ladies that come and clean our house a couple times a month, and they come in and they do a fabulous job for us. And they were supposed to come this week, and Lori was in contact with them, and she said, "Hey guys, man, I, you know," they said, we're good." You could tell they were wanting to come and clean because you know, obviously your economics. And they said, "Man, you know, we don't show any symptoms. We're all good. Nobody's sick in our family and all that." And Lori's like, "Nah, I'm sorry, but I've got my 84-year-old mother-in-law's over here a lot, and my grandchildren are over here every day, and we just don't feel comfortable with it right now." But instead of just canceling and saying, "Man, I hate it, but come get it when we can," Lori told them, she said, "I will pay you just like you came." And it blew her away. She said, "You don't have to do that." And Lori says, "I know, but I want to." She said, "I understand the economic stress it puts on y'all." And so we're sending them a check just like they came and cleaned our house. You know, things like that. That's just two simple acts of generosity that speak volumes about compassion. I know a lot of you guys. I'm speaking to the house in Victory right now. I know a lot of you guys, y'all's kids are in dance or gymnastics or some of this stuff, and that's all been canceled. And so they're not having their sessions, and this may go on for weeks or even a month or perhaps 2 months. And I know you pay these things by the month, and I know the gyms and the instructors, that's their livelihood. So they're like, "Oh, my gosh, this is a..." How about just considering, even though your child's not going to dance or gymnastics and all of that, how about not requesting or even demanding a refund because your child is not being given the services? How about coming in and say, "You know what, I'm going to pay that this month anyway. Even though I'm not utilizing that service," the same can be said if you're going to the health club in Carrollton and you're paying your $35 a month monthly membership. Don't demand that they give you the money back. Say, "You know what? I understand these are unique times, and so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to butcher part of my fatted calf, and I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to bless you with that." And you will be amazed. You will be amazed how that will speak volumes to people concerning love, compassion, and your faith. We had a trip that we had to cancel because of the coronavirus, obviously, and we had the option to get money back on the house or to for them to keep it and use it for a credit, you know, out to a whole for another year. And I told them, I said, "Man, just you keep it as a credit," and it was several thousand dollars, but you keep it as a credit, and we will use it within a 12-month period. And they sent me a super email back, and he said, "Thank you for helping keep the travel industry afloat, because if everybody just starts pulling out and everything shuts down, then it's going to shut down the whole livelihood of all these people." And so that's just some practical things for the body of Victory Fellowship. And if you're a visitor and you're listening to this podcast, consider these things. Because I know some of you guys, man, you've got some fatted calves, and you've done well in some of these areas. And it's not just a monetary thing, okay? Some of you guys are not in a position monetarily to do a lot on different things, but you are in a whole position in your life that you have a place of tremendous peace. You've got a place of tremendous hope. You've got a place of tremendous trust and faith. And, man, that is just as much or more so a fatted calf that you can break off and give to others. It can be through emails or text or encouraging people, through social media and just speaking some hope into their life and kindness in their life, encouragement into their life, or just some friendship into their life. You know, that stuff like that's huge. And all of us, when we're walking in a place of wholeness, we have that capacity. I love what Bill Johnson says, and he's been saying it for 20 years that I've been listening to him. He says, I never study to bring a word or a text. He said, I study for my personal use, for my personal growth, for my personal wholeness. And when it comes time to preach and teach, I simply break off a piece of who I am, and that's what I give to the people. So some of you may be sitting here today and you're trying to be practical. What can I do to help people and make this, these unique times, make it, better for people that perhaps are suffering in it? Then break off some of your wholeness and reach out to them and encourage them and celebrate with them. Alec and Ashley Steele just had a baby boy yesterday and there were some, potential things with her going to the hospital and the coronavirus and all that. So she decided to have it at home and, with a midwife. And so I'm like, you go, girl, you're tough. And several of you, Lori and several of you ladies, I know y'all were, through this process with her and encouraging her and praying for her and all of that. Now they've got a beautiful baby boy that's here. And so, you know, just words of, you know, hey man, we are so proud for you guys and congratulations. And that's awesome. And you're always faithful. And you know what? That's breaking off and that's butchering part of a fatted calf that you have prepared. You know, because a lot of times we get hung up and we say, man, I can't leave a $50 tip on a to-go order. I understand that because there have been years when I couldn't do that. But we all have the capacity that we can break off wholeness and release wholeness into people's lives. And so these are things that we can do right now. As I said a while ago, unique. Let me read this. I think this is important. About the uniqueness of the moment. The unique timing of our investment can produce a unique harvest. The unique timing of our investment can produce a unique harvest. And I'm not talking about financial investments with that. That would be applicable. But I'm talking about more than that. The unique timing of our investment can produce a unique harvest. So, as your life looks different right now, let it be amazingly different. Let it be one that your wife knows that she's more significant than your career. That your husband knows he's more significant than just financial security in your life. That your children know that they are of the utmost importance to you. And during this time, they're not a nuisance and they're not bothersome. But there's this wonderful gift from God that's worth all the investment of our time and our emotion and our energy and our passion that we can pour into that. And what you're doing is you're fattening a calf that in the future will be ready to be butchered for, I put future consumption. That sounds a little bit kind of raw, but that's what it is. Jesus came in and he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that's what he was talking about. He said, I'm a fatted calf that has been intentional, prepared, and sent by the Father. And I have come and I've spent eternity with the Father. I have spent 30-something years here walking on planet Earth being fed by my Father, being fed by the Holy Spirit. I've been fattened by these things. And then Calvary's cross came. And without Calvary's cross, Jesus couldn't become the perfect Savior. It took Calvary's cross. He was not the perfect Savior until Calvary's cross. But on Calvary's cross, he became the perfect Savior. And you know what he was? He was the fattened calf. And he was offered up as a sacrifice. And that's the place that we come to God in salvation, is we come in and we say, God, I'm going to consume what you have been intentional about since the foundations of the earth. And I'm going to eat of that. And I'm going to receive that. as sustaining life, and I thank you for that. And that's what our salvation is, guys. That's what our salvation is. And the Father was very specific in that. Only Jesus could do that. So it was specific. And it was very intentional. And then he came in and he says, and I break this off and I give it to you and you eat my flesh and you drink my blood. And so in this time, as the thing that will cause you to become the fatted calf is feasting off the fatted calf that was slain for you. It's feasting off Jesus. It's feasting off the Holy Spirit and His presence in your life. And that's going to bring you into a place of wholeness where then you can in turn break it off and give it to others. You can give it to those that are closest to you, and you can have it ready for those that you have not even met yet. I fully believe that the things that I am fattening in my life right now, the fatted calves in my life, whether it be economically, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, relationally, all of these things that I am fattening up right now are not only for my benefit, they're not only for my family's benefit, they're not only for the benefit of the people that I'm in covenant relationship with right now, but these calves that I'm fattening in my life are for people that I have not even met yet. People that our lives or in our paths are going to cross in the future. And it may be a year from now, it may be 5 years from now, it may be 20 years from now. But I want you to understand that this fattening of the calves is a generational thing. I am making decisions. Lori and I are making decisions right now. Physically, emotionally, economically, spiritually, in our lives right now, that will have a direct effect on three generations behind us, our great-grandchildren and our great-great-grandchildren. And those are the calves that I'm fattening right now. So now's not the time to duck and run. Now's not the time to operate in fear. Now is the time to be people that are full of faith, people that are full of hope, people that are full of trust, and use this unique time for unique investments. So I just want to challenge you with that. I love you guys. God bless you. I hope that you flourish right now. I hope that you are the oasis in a desert of chaos. I hope that you are the beautiful flower that blooms in what appears to be a desert. Because I believe Isaiah 35 is us. And I believe that perhaps right now looks a little bit like Isaiah 35. In the world gone crazy and the uncertainty and the chaos and all of that, we can be the Isaiah 35. We can be the one that flourishes. We can be the one that shines. We can be the one, as I said a few weeks ago, that operates in the currency of peace. And the world will gravitate to that. I promise you the world will gravitate to that. But I love you guys. Y'all walk in that. Y'all flourish in that. Be blessed. Keep listening for more podcasts. I'm going to be putting more out there on a weekly basis. I'm sure James, Nick, and Marty will be bringing some. Also, just a heads up, Aaliyah and Ariel are going to be putting some videos up on some Facebook stuff. I'm not familiar with all of that, but they're going to be putting up videos for our children's church. So just keep an ear and an eye out for that. And let's just stay connected with each other best we can. Love you guys. Be blessed.